And welcome to another edition of Odyssey. I'm your host, Mike Schultz. We talk about ancient mysteries and modern mysteries, and we'll be talking about intuition with a world-renowned psychic today by the name of Eddie Connor. But I am broadcasting live from the Living Temple in Orange County. If you're anywhere near the Southern California area, please drop by and learn all about raw foods. And we have all kinds of DVDs about UFOs and intriguing subjects. So please come down to the Living Temple in Huntington Beach and check that out. So tonight's topic is how to be more psychic, how to be more intuitive, and be more positive and to manifest. So welcome to the show, Eddie Connor.
Well, I appreciate you inviting me, Mike. How are you doing tonight?
Great. I actually just finished your book. It's got a great title. It's called The Kicking the Big Butt Syndrome, correct?
That's correct.
It's got quite an intriguing cover. It's purple and pink.
Well, my friends tease me. They say that, did J-Lo pose for that cover? And I'm like, no, that's Beyonce.
Well, it's going to stand out on the bookshelves.
Yeah, well, I've heard.
I'll tell you that. You know, you do a lot of different things. Why don't you just take a minute or two and just tell us about your work and all the different areas, and then we'll get into the topics.
Thank you, Mike. My work, I've been a soul intuitive, meaning I do intuitive readings and coaching and have for about 15 years. And I also love traveling all over the country and all over the world teaching spiritual classes, self-improvement, new age, anything that helps us get us out of our own way. And this book was innocently born out of all of the readings that I've done. What I noticed that people would contradict their energy, and we both know that humans have energy, everything has energy about it. And what I noticed, Mike, was people would say, I really want a relationship, but I don't want a jerk, or I want money, but I don't have enough hours in the day to work a seventh job. And what I realized, they would have this really high frequency desire for love, money, career, or even body image, and then they would instantly body slam it to the mat like a WWF wrestling thing or something with this negative belief that they couldn't have it. And then that's where I realized the big butt syndrome was born.
We all do that.
Yeah, everybody, we do it. I call it asphalt disease because it's, and I love actionable acronyms. Asphalt is an acronym for we accidentally self-sabotage, and we do it by default, meaning we don't do it on purpose, and we all do it.
Interesting. Here's an interesting question. Do you think all the millions of people reading The Secret are still doing it even after filling themselves with this positive message of The Secret?
I absolutely do, as a matter of fact. And even The Secret virgins and The Law of Attraction virgins, they're butt-predicting themselves harder than anybody else on the planet right now.
Okay.
And it, as a matter of fact, we're working on the butt secret as we speak.
Absolutely. Well, let's get right into your book now. You talk a little bit about how a desire is different from a belief. So why don't we start with that?
A desire, in my opinion, as an intuitive, is you have a strong desire for something, whether it's love, money, career, or anything out there, a strong desire to go to another country that you've always loved since you were a kid. Your desire is high, it's pure, it's magical, it's very childlike. And in my opinion, a desire is a non-physical attribute that comes from the universe, any of the higher realms. A belief is something I feel that we incur more when we're on the earth plane, meaning we start believing what the adults around us teach us to believe. If money doesn't grow on trees, you believe that. If you have to work hard to earn the money, you start believing that too. So we innocently acclimate to what the adults around us and what the community around us believes. So we lose our desire. Our desire starts getting watered down for what we want, and then we start acquiescing innocently over to the belief of the community.
Right. Speaking of money, I have this theory that a lot of our grandparents grew up during the Depression. They had a very, very hard time, and they told our parents that, and then it got passed to us.
And isn't it shocking what people will choose to believe without investigating it on their own merit?
Right. But I think we're dealing with the Depression was in the 1930s, but here it is 75 years on. I think that's still in our family trees, a lot of us.
I agree. I completely agree. And haven't you also noticed that history repeats itself every 100 to every 150 years?
Absolutely.
So we're on our way to recycle. If we can recycle bell-bottom jeans and tube tops, you know good and well we're going to recycle old money stuff.
Now, I do readings as well. A lot of people come to me, let's say they're in their early 20s, and they say, you know, I'm really going to get my degree and go be a nurse. And you don't hear any excitement in their voice. They just say it like that. Or I'm going to be an accountant.
Yeah.
But, you know, deep down inside, you know, they really want to go for something else. Why don't you talk about how people get on the wrong path with that?
It goes back to what you were just saying. This, I love your interviewing and your hosting because you're so like ding, ding, ding. You're so tuned in, tapped in, turned on. And I believe that when we start, again, we acquiesce to what the adults encourage us to do. Adults have this thing they do with children, and it says, that's a good boy. That's a bad boy. So we very quickly, depending on our personality, start moving toward whatever we're taught is good, meaning whatever we do that makes the adults around us treat us better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know you bumped into the same thing, Mike, whenever we were kids and growing up. You know, I didn't want to be a doctor. I didn't want to be a nurse. I wanted to be a teacher, an uplifter, an intuitive. I wanted to be somebody that talked to dead people. So whenever career fair came around, remember that?
Sure.
And everybody's running out of the classes to see what all the tables are set up and see what all of our unlimited opportunities are going to be for whenever we get out of high school.
Uh-huh.
Weren't you shocked to find there were no actors, singers, dancers, intuitives, talking to dead people?
Nothing.
Energy interpreters, nothing intuitive, nothing artistic, nothing creative.
It was all just practical, sure, the standard careers, yeah.
And so we're taught to go into it because it's, our parents teach us that it's safe. The community tells us it's safe. They never, well, that's not true. Most communities do not support the artist or the creative person. And in my opinion, intuition and artistic expression and imagination are not separated. And that right brain attribute seemed to scare people for the last 2,000 years. And now that we're in the dawn of the age of Aquarius and in the goddess energy moving into the earth plane, we're moving into 2,000 years of right brain intuition, creativity, and artistic expression. And I do feel and believe in my heart that what's going to melt away are the old human beliefs that we can't have what we want and live the dreams that we want. And what we're going back into now is living the life that we desire.
Yeah, it's funny. You triggered a childhood memory in me. I remember being a baseball player, and the coaches would say every once in a while, well, you know, it's a one in a million chance that you'd be a major league player.
Yeah.
And they put that thought in our head, but maybe what they should have said is, wow, if you really like sports or baseball, you can be a coach, you know, you can be a teacher and work in a school and play baseball. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, get in the environment or follow your passion in any way you can.
Well, I love your word, passion. It seems to me, and I played baseball one season. I slid into home plate, and that was the end of that for me, let me tell you. what I've noticed was it was so less about the passion, as we say. I had a passion for it. I was very athletic growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do very quickly is they start making you a statistic.
Yeah.
You become a number. You become what you can and can't do. Well, let's just put him out in right field and get it over with.
Right.
And they don't give you a chance if they don't immediately see something. They don't feel the passion. They have to see something in you first.
So a lot of us, just our passions just get put aside, and it seems like almost like our first careers in our 20s are really just to please society, aren't they?
Yep, I agree. I agree. And then we have this. Then we have these things, these sneaky little things called hobbies.
Sneak up.
Yeah, so we'll start doing the tarot cards, and we'll start doing readings. We'll start reading metaphysical books. We'll attend classes on how to communicate with your higher self. And the next thing you know, 10 years later, we're living the life that we were reading about in the books.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, you have some interesting, you talk about words being very powerful. And what's a high vibration vocabulary versus low vibration?
Ooh, good question. The high frequency vocabulary would be words like opulence, abundance, prosperity, ease, flow, freedom. All of those words that I just mentioned, Mike, are actual high frequency money words. And you can really feel in your solar plexus. I call it your solar plexus megaphone, because our solar plexus is where we communicate with the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And in your gut brain or solar plexus, you can literally begin to feel the difference between these two words. And let's play a game with your listening audience. You have such a great fan base out there.
Okay, sure.
So if the whole, if all of your listeners would just put their hand over their abdominal area and feel the frequency of these two words and tell me which ones feel the best. The first word is money. The next word is freedom. Out of the two words, which of those words felt best to you?
Freedom.
Freedom always feels better. And part of the reason for that is because money, we believe, brings us more freedom. So if we go right to the end result first and start vibrating the essence of freedom, then we start dropping the low frequency word money. I call that vibratory vocabulary, because every word in the vocabulary has a frequency. There are two frequencies. One is high and opulent, rich and abundant. The other frequency is low, negative, and ridden with poverty and struggle. And money often feels like a low frequency word. So I teach clients and people in workshops everywhere to start replacing the word money. I say, whenever you say the word money, drop and give yourself three high frequency words to replace it. Freedom, abundance, ease, opulence. One of my friends came in and said, Benjamin. I said, my name's Eddie, and they said, yes, and Benjamin is what I call my $100 bills now. So I don't even say money or dollars. I say Benjamin's, opulence, wealth, prosperity, ease, flow, freedom. And then they go on these, what I call an appreciation avalanche, and they start playing with it that way. And very quickly, we're tricking our left brains out of the old belief, so that the right brain can come in harmony and work with the left brain in order to bring us the dollars.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Why don't we pause for a moment? I know you do private phone readings and you have a website. Why don't you give out a little bit of that information?
Fantastic. Thank you. The website is eddieconner.com, and that's spelled traditionally E-D-D-I-E, and the last name Connor, C-O-N-N-E-R.com. My friends laugh and say, you're an er, not an or. And then there's also bigbuttbook.com, where we can all go see our bootylicious book cover you were referencing earlier.
That was one T.
Yeah. The next book will be Asphalt Factor.
It's very catchy. So I know you have all kinds of classes and groups, and you do phone readings, correct?
I absolutely do. I'm fortunate enough, like you, to be able to do private phone consultations all over the world. I've been doing it for somewhere between 12 and 14 years now. And the fun thing, which I know you probably get to do too, is I've read for people for as long as 14 years that I have never met in person.
It works over the phone.
It really does. I love it. I call those boxer shorts and sweatshirts readings. So you're sitting there all comfortable and you're just like, bam, bam.
Now, what do you have a phone number for that, or should they go to the website?
Absolutely. The phone number is 818-734-9392.
Okay, let's get back to the book now. You talked about doing some mirror work, literally looking at yourself in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about that.
In the book that I'm working on now that comes out next year, I have an exercise I call Mirror Soul Speak. And in the Big Butt book, we talk about the oval mirror of life. And oval, here comes the acronym. OVAL is an acronym for observe, vibrate, attract, and live it. So whatever we observe with our eyes open or closed is going to cause us to vibrate a frequency in our solar plexus. Once we vibrate the frequency, we're going to begin attracting what we were vibrating, and then we're going to L, live it. So the OVAL mirror is an acronym for observe, vibrate, attract, and live it. And whether we're standing in front of a mirror, I don't know about you, I'm over 45 now, so I have some, I'm working through my issues. Things are starting to drop.
And so isn't it funny how we look at the negative and not the positive in our bodies?
Brilliantly stated, which goes back again to childhood. Don't get too big for your britches. Get off your high horse. Don't get too filled up with yourself, meaning don't love yourself. And so whether you're standing in front of the mirror and observing the beautiful blue eyes or you're looking at the saggy stomach. It's like whatever we observe will vibrate and come to us 100% of the time. So the oval mirror is, again, there's two frequencies. There's a high, rich frequency, and there's a low, poverty frequency. Every thought, every breath, every step, every moment, we're living in what I call the oval mirror of life, which represents the universe. When you stand in front of a mirror, you're going to see something based on your perception, your belief, your frequency. If you feel bad that day, you're going to look at the droopy stomach. If you feel good, you're going to look at all the other things that make you happy that day. It's the exact same thing in life. And that's the premise of kicking the big butt syndrome, is everything comes from you into the universe and from the universe back, or from you into the mirror and reflected back instantaneously.
Yeah, you have some real insight in the book on how you looked back at photographs of yourself when you were 30 and you were 20, and you say, oh my gosh, I look great, but at the time, you felt lousy.
Thank you for bringing that up. And you know what? You just called me on something, so thank you, Mike. I'm going to pull some photos out of that era in my life. I was a dancer, and So, you know, a lot of dancers have body dysmorphia. And we have a lot of pressure on ourselves to be thinner than most people because you have to be agile and that sort of thing. I, honest to God, I weighed 155 pounds back then. I honestly can truly, all of my friends will tell you the truth. They will tell you that I had a complex about my stomach. I didn't even have a stomach.
Wow.
And back then, I honestly thought that I did.
Right.
And so that was at 155, and today I'm looking at 210, looking back at it going, good Lord, I know how I got to 210 now. Now let me vibrate back to, let's say, 190 or 195. I would be a happy camper. So I need to stand in front of the oval mirror of life with that picture and go, bring me some of this.
But you mentioned that people who are overweight now, it's a result of thoughts they were thinking 10 years ago.
Absolutely. I believe that.
So they're just manifesting their body image in the future.
You're exactly right. And sometimes it takes 10 years to catch up with them. It will always, always catch up. The only thing that we have on this planet every single lifetime that is a perfect reflection of what we're going through vibrationally is our body. Our money might get weak sometimes and strong in other times. Our body's going to be the thing there suffering the brunt of the highs and the lows consistently in every thought, in every category that's important to us.
Okay, so let me give you like a practical example, and let's work through this.
Okay.
Sometimes people come to me and they say, you know, Mike, I have a $10,000 credit card debt on my Visa, and I have $10,000 on my MasterCard. I'm barely paying the minimums. I have $20,000 in debt. So how would you work with a situation like that?
The number one thing I would, and people, a lot of people don't feel the power of appreciation at first. The number one thing is you have to look at the positive aspects of it, meaning find the high-frequency way to look at it. So let's play the game for a second, if you wouldn't mind role-playing here.
Sure.
So what's a positive way to look at that $20,000 debt?
I got to enjoy a new car that I bought with it.
Brilliant. So you got to enjoy a new car. How did the car make you feel, good or bad?
Great.
High frequency or low frequency?
High.
And so what were you vibrating in the oval mirror of life with that new car that those credit cards gave you the luxury to purchase it with?
Uh-huh.
With the car, did you appreciate the car, and did you appreciate the ease that credit cards bring, and you want to learn to appreciate the fact that someone extended you that line of credit to begin with?
Absolutely.
And then the next thing that you want to help people do is what I call, in the new book, appreciating.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people have invisibuts. Whenever we see people with money and we're struggling, especially if we're good people, and that sounds like a big old contradiction or butt-tradiction, have you noticed that good, hard-working, ethical, integrous, authentic people, especially healers and spiritual people, when they look at other people who are living their dream life, and yet we know those people sometimes, and they're not, quote, the nicest person on the planet, that ends up evoking a little bit of jealousy or envy or irritation or question mark about why we don't have something more than we do. So the very first thing I want to address with them is their invisibuts. So A, when you appreciate what you've got and what you're working with in this red hot second, and B, you want to do what I call appreciate asking. You want to look at everything you can possibly look at that has nothing to do with money or okay. your debt. That's the key. Are trees opulent?
Is Absolutely.
Is the ocean abundant?
Yes.
Are the grains of sand at the beach unlimited?
And endless.
Eternal.
Uh-huh. The universe is abundant.
Brilliantly stated. So what I teach them to do is move around and look at everything that's unlimited, eternal, opulent, prosperous, never-ending, and appreciate it. Why?
Gold is abundant.
Yes.
Still.
Yes. And whenever you're appreciating those things, you literally began the 7 trillion plus cells in your body start asking for more of what you're looking at or what you're observing in that oval mirror of life. Meaning, if I'm counting the leaves on the tree and I'm like, wow, there's got to be 1 million leaves on these trees. As I'm looking at that, I am vibrating a high frequency of abundance, plenty, freedom, and opulence. No one taught us that. Here's what they did teach us. You got to look at the debt. You got to scream about the debt. You got to record the debt. You got to talk about the debt. You got to work hard to work off the debt. Mm-hmm. What does that bring us?
More.
More debt. And so are we appreciating the debt? No.
Yeah.
Is the debt a low frequency poverty thing that's scaring the bejeebies out of us?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. All of those are low frequencies. Does the universe love us unconditionally? Yes. So if the universe loves us unconditionally, really, and we're vibrating lack, debt, and it's bringing us more of the same. Now, that is really unconditional love, isn't it?
Sure.
It's saying, I'm not judging you. Here's more lack. Here's more debt. And so when we go out and we find everything, they teach us to look at the problem, and the problem gets bigger. And whenever we look at things that feel like the opposite of the problem, which are the solution, not the solution, the solution,
okay.
We have to learn to be soulfish, not selfish. And so as we become soulfish, solution-oriented beings and looking at everything that lights us up from the inside out in the oval mirror, what then do we start vibrating? The answers, the solutions. The end of the tunnel, the end result, what is wanted. The 7 trillion cells in our body with appreciation asking begin saying, ooh, this is what opulence and freedom feels like. Let's bring more of this. Suddenly, you're not only being able to easily pay off that debt without stressing yourself out in a low-frequency way, you're standing at the right place at the right time with the right people that sign you up on the dotted line that can get that debt paid off in one fell signature. And you know, and I know, we've seen this, all of our friends listening right now, we have all seen and experienced friends of ours who have been down that low debt-wise and that trouble debt-wise, and in one quick sweep ended up on top of their game again.
It can happen.
It definitely can happen.
Yeah, let's role play again. Here's a real issue that happened. I was at a psychic fair a few weeks ago. A nice lady came in. She was a Reiki healer. And she sat there all day and got no customers. She was so depressed by the end, but she knew she was living her dream. How can, because there's a lot of people in our audience, they're just trying to get a clientele building in Reiki, yoga, whatever, tarot. How can they get the ball rolling?
Mike, do you remember the first class you did?
Tarot class?
Any class.
Sure.
How many people showed up?
For my tarot, like 15.
Very good. And so was that the very, very first class you ever extended? Now, see, that is good. That's a high-frequency intention with the high-frequency belief that you have something to offer.
Right.
The first class I did, I think I had 30. And then for about a year, year and a half, whenever I moved out here, I would advertise and I would put up flyers. Nobody would come to my class.
Yeah.
It's because I had a big, giant butt.
What was it?
My butt was, I am so wanting to be of service. I moved all the way across the country to be of service.
You're a martyr.
Yes. My butt was, my big butt addiction was, but I'm scared to death. What if I say something that people perceive as irresponsible? What if I can't help them? What if I can't help them feel better?
You're kidding.
No.
You were a perfectionist.
Exactly. Oh. I was mortified. Now, it's funny, in North Carolina, the first class, I had 30 people.
Uh-huh.
And these were high-profile people. I remember doing that class, looking around, going, oh, my God, I'm feeling a little bit like an imposter. And then whenever I moved out to L.A., where everybody's sophisticated, I was scared I was out of my element. I was scared that I was John Boy Walton in the City of Angels trying to give some advice, like, come over here, let me heal you, sister.
I see.
And so for this lovely lady that was at the psychic fair, bless her heart, mm-hmm. she knows in her heart of hearts that's what she's supposed to be doing. So we start back with the basics. Appreciate asking is one of the very first things. We've heard the power of intention till we're all blue in the face. However, I call it think it, ink it. The last three letters in the word think are ink. And IT, here we go again, I apologize in advance, is an acronym for illuminated thought. Mm. An illuminated thought, is that a high frequency or a low frequency?
Sounds high to me.
It's very, very high. Illuminated thought, it's what puts that little aura around your crown chakra. When you're thinking thoughts that are illuminated and you're writing those thoughts down and they're illuminated thoughts and you're very focused on it and they feel good in your solar plexus and you're vibrating it back in the oval mirror of life, now you're becoming what they call, you're vibrating the law of increase as you sat there. Thank you. They're saying to tell you that the longer she sat there,
mm-hmm.
the more sad or not sad, the more concerned, the more, why am I not vibrating? What am I not sending out? She was very conscious, and she's great at what she does.
Yes, she's very good.
And she's a good person on top of it who would give you the shirt off of her back. At the same time, we all, as spiritual beings, more often than not, have a little bit more insecurity than the average Joe out there.
Yeah, and when I hear beginners talk about the prices, you can hear them waffling in their voice, like, well, maybe 20 or 25 an hour. It's like, no, charge 50 and claim it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
They're so scared.
Yeah, well, and we're taught not to charge for our gift, depending on the area of the country we grew up in. I worked, you nailed me, Mike. I tell you, I was a big old, you know, martyr, and I didn't know it. I would have argued you to the ground back then, and I was a martyr because I worked as a reader for 2 years before I charged a penny.
No way.
I swear to you. And then whenever I did charge, I called it a love offering. And you know what I realized?
People don't value your reading.
No, they do not love me. And so I have to learn to be selfish, honey, and stand in my power and then write down what I wanted this to look like, how I wanted it to feel, the kind of people. Now, here's another thing about this lovely lady, and we can all identify with it. When we first go out on the spiritual limb and looking for our inner Shirley MacLaine, when we first go out there in that spiritual limb and we're doing our work, we will often attract every whiny, bitchy, sucky, moany, disconnected from source person out there that wants people to uplift them.
Wow.
And if you go back and look at the beginning, look at the caliber of client you had your first year, and look at the caliber of client you have today.
Yeah, it gets better.
It gets so much better. Why? Because your frequency is higher. You literally, the thing I love about talking about you and listening to your show, and that's why I'm so privileged to be able to be in this position, it's the truth, is you bring the vibration of the law of increase to the table.
Well, I have to tell you something. You know, I was lecturing in Oregon and just alive and just loving the whole lecture. And at the end, the producer of this radio network came up to me and offered me a job right on the spot. So you manifest something you love, and something else you love comes about.
And you know what? I love that because that's energetic multiple orgasmic combustion points.
And I was in the zone like you could not believe, speaking to 300 people.
I call that zone tension.
Yeah.
There's zen tension, there's zone tension. And boy, you were in all of them.
And I was asking people, are you in the zone? When they're asking about career, are you not even aware of time? Are you totally in the zone? Do you love it?
Yes.
And a lot of times I get a no.
and that's because there's a little waffling there. They're trying so hard to please the person in front of them that they're not being true to their heart and soul in that moment. And you have that down to a science. You are a bridger of reality. I would be willing to bet you, this was my thing growing up too, we're very similar this way, Mike, in that I wanted to be a counselor, a therapist, a psychologist, an uplifter, a speaker, a motivator, a helper, and everything.
Sure.
And then I wanted to write books, and I wanted to be on TV, and then I wanted to, and I realized they were all connected to one thing and one thing only, to communicate what I have known since I was a little boy to help other people not go through the rigmarole that we went through.
Oh.
And I have a passion for it. You have a passion for it. As long as you have a passion for it, the way you're talking about and being in the zone, we can't not attract people to us of like mind that give us opportunities like this.
Right. Now, I'm getting a feeling, I never do this, but I'd like to open up the phone lines in the last 10 minutes and take a few calls. Is that okay?
I would be honored.
So on the main webpage, bbsradio.com, you'll see the 800 numbers. And like people that listen to my show, they know I never do this. I am the audience. I always ask questions for the audience. But I sense there's a couple people that need to talk to you. So in the last 10 minutes, you can call that 800 number. We will put you on the air with Eddie, but not yet. Now, you talk about a triangle personality, somebody who really works hard and scuffles through life. Why don't you sketch that out for us?
Thank you. The triangle personality actually was an accident. I was playing around with intuitive intellect, and I realized most humans are what I call a tri, which is a T-R-Y hyphen angle personality, meaning the triangle governs the left brain first, and then it covers the solar plexus, meaning your feelings second, and then it goes to your intuition or your right brain last. So often, more people than not will really be trying every angle, every scheme, every action they can come up with their left brain attributes. Mm-hmm. And our left brain is literally like less than 5% of who and what we are. And we forget to use the power of our feelings. That's why most people put feelings on the back burner and then put creativity behind that. And so when we're trying every angle we can from just our left brain perspective with little feeling and little creativity and intuition, we literally get stuck in the rut of the big butt syndrome all the time. And then I say that we're all born as intuitive intellects. We're all whole brain beings first. We're very Leonardo da Vinci. Mm-hmm. That's what we came forth to be brilliant in calculus and mathematics and numbers, and be brilliant in creative artistic expression. And when we start, imagine a beam of light coming from the heavens right down through the top of your head, right through your crown chakra. As it does, imagine that it then cups around, turning into a figure eight, starting at the right brain. Then that eight goes through your heart chakra, then circles around through your solar plexus, comes back through the heart chakra and intersects like the middle of the eight does, and then connects with the left brain. And then once it connects to the left brain, what does the number eight do? It is an infinity symbol. It's eternal. It's infinite. And you learn to think with the right brain, then the heart chakra, then your feelings, and then your heart chakra a second time before it gets to the left brain. If you become an intuitive intellect instead of a try every angle you can personality, you will very quickly, A, get out of your own way, B, you'll stop contradicting yourself with the big butts out there and the asphalt disease. I call that push-pull paralysis. Come to me, go away. Come to me, go away. It's like a spiritual constipation.
Yeah. I don't know if you've heard this, but I've heard that 10 minutes of powerful meditation is worth about 1,000 hours of pounding the pavement.
I completely agree. And Abraham Hicks says that 17 seconds of feeling pure positive energy for 17 seconds from 1 second all the way to the 17th is equivalent to 2,000 physical action hours worth of labor expended.
Yeah, that's the formula. It creates a huge thought bubble.
Yeah, I love it, which puts us back into that more text of great, abundant, opulent things.
Yeah, and people should read the Abraham books and tapes. They're wonderful. By the way, you also take trips around the world. I know you're going to Machu Picchu. That's up my alley because I do ancient mysteries.
Oh.
There's all kinds of crucially important sites there. So why don't you talk about your trip to Machu Picchu? Maybe some people will go with you.
I'll tell you what, my Machu Picchu story, my big giant story in 30 seconds or less is this.
Sure.
I did not have a pot to pee in.
Uh-huh.
I just moved out to California. I wanted to go to Machu Picchu, so I started ripping out pictures of Machu Picchu, pictures of Caroline Mace and Shirley MacLaine and all of that. I didn't have the dollars, so I made a big board, and I visualized with it 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in the evening. This is a true story.
Mm-hmm.
About 2 months later, a client called, an associate. I didn't really know him that well, and he basically pretty much just said this: "Do you know who Carolyn Mace is?" I'm like, "Yeah, I got her in my appreciation notebook with my Machu Picchu pictures." And he said, "Well, she's going to Machu Picchu, and it's a 10-day tour, and I'm going to take you as my guest, all expenses paid, if you would like to go with me, because," he said, "I've meditated and meditated, and I can't think of a better spiritual traveling companion to go with than you."
Amazing.
We never even had dinner together. So that was my Machu Picchu story. When I went the first year, it was unbelievable. The shaman told me the first year that I went, he said, "You will bring groups of people back here. You are our brother." Mm-hmm. The very next year, I took my first group, and guess who shamans we worked with? Shirley MacLaine.
Yeah.
And it changed my life, and I could almost cry talking about it. It will change anyone and everyone's life. So we're going back in May of 2008, and we have the number one, and I'm not saying this, we have the number one primo guide. I call him a spiritual guide and guardian angel. Alba Lardo is our guide. He is going to be taking us, and we're working with the top shamans in all of Machu Picchu, and we're doing rituals. It is going to be through the roof.
Absolutely. So did you have any UFO sightings up there? I know Shirley MacLaine certainly did.
Well, I have seen 5 in my lifetime, and we had a lot of feelings of that kind of activity, and one of the salt mine areas we're going to is very heightened in UFO activity. So we're literally, that's new to the tour in May, and that's a place we've never been before, and I am thrilled beyond thrilled to go.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm working on my new DVD, and I found out there's a place called the Doorway to the Universe where people actually go to and disappear into the wall. I know, I'm going to have to talk to you about this.
Is that the Children of the Light thing?
It's a site near Machu Picchu, and people have, the locals will not go anywhere near this doorway, but they go to the other side, and the Anunnaki have been supposedly come through this door. It's a portal. So I'll have to give you the exact information later.
I would be,
No, really, people have literally disappeared in front of many witnesses. So I will get that information to you. And but you make a powerful statement in your book. You say that we are 99% non-physical.
Yes.
And only 1% physical. I mean,
yes.
Talk about that.
I believe that with my heart and soul. I've known that since I was old enough to walk and talk, yet I also knew not to talk about it. And that is, we are, even, I think of our bodies, your body is a grain of sand. And your grain of sand of a physical apparatus is what it is. What controls it, or what power, the power behind your grain of sand of a body, is the sun and the moon and the stars and the sky and the universe and the solar system, etc. and so forth, meaning everything non-physical is the other 99.99% of who and what you are as a human, and you have unlimited connection and power to that non-physical part. Most humans are stuck in the triangle part. My whole work is to get them out of their way, out of their butts, and then get them into that intuitive intellectual cycle, that butt-free zone, so that they literally feel. You talked about it. You said in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
When we're in the zone, we lose track of time, space, reality. The goosebumps stand on the back of our necks, like my eyes were watering, the hair was standing up on my head when you're talking about this portal.
Yeah.
That means pay attention. It's a reality that we're not used to seeing with our human eyes, and get ready, fasten your seatbelt, take your vitamins, and you're going to be, bam, going.
Right. Now, here's another question. Sometimes people really ponder. They don't know where they're supposed to be living. I'm personally in this dilemma. I'm torn in the Northwest, and I'm torn in the Southwest part of the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we tap into intuitively, psychically, where we are supposed to be living?
And without doing a reading for you, I will say to you that right now you're doing exactly instinctually and intuitively what your soul is speaking to you about and whispering to you to do, because you're picking up frequencies and energy from one part of the country that really is like grounding you, keeping your head on your shoulders and out of the clouds, firmly planted into the earth. And then you go over to that other part of the country where now you, when you do go there, you can put your head in the clouds. You can be up there and be as esoteric as you want to be, because now you have the groundedness from that other part of the country. So thank you. They're saying, Mike, right now you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, that's the answer I've gotten. And I remind people to think outside the box. You don't have to live in one place only.
Yep, think outside. Yep.
You can have two homes, or you can manifest two if you want. That's what I'm working on right now.
Me too.
I know. Why not?
And the first thing the listeners heard when you said that is like, why not manifest two homes? Their left brain triangle personality went, oh, Lord, what about the mortgage?
Yeah,
what about
two
the
mortgages,
debt?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like think outside the butt.
Uh-huh.
Get up there into that high-frequency zone and say, what is the best-case scenario? What great surprise does the universe have for me? I'm like you. I'm in the southeastern United States, and I'm on the West Coast.
Yeah, you're pulled both ways. Yeah.
Exactly, and I'm hugely drawn now to Minneapolis and Michigan in the middle of the country, and I'm doing a lot of work there, and all of them balance us out in the way we need to be right now, setting us up for those two homes down the road that's more consistent.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Okay, we're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines. Go to the bbsradio.com website at the front, the 800 numbers. Go ahead and call in. We will take a few calls. In the meantime, let's talk about, there's some tips in your book that help people. You talk about, like, just playing music that you love before you meditate or manifest. Talk about that.
Absolutely. My friend Karen Drucker, are you familiar with her music, Karen Drucker?
No, but I want to hear it. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, I'll send you some CDs of her. She would be an awesome guest on your show. She has, like, 11 albums out. And Karen Drucker, I call her the song formation goddess.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I just sit still and I listen to one of her songs, it can take me from feeling crappy and disconnected to high frequency in 3 minutes or less.
Okay, we have a call. Let's get the caller. Come on.
Okay.
Caller? Hello, caller? Hello? Okay, are you there, caller? All right, let's just keep going and talking about the music some more.
Oh, very good. Any music that makes you feel good can immediately transmute you from a poverty place to a prosperous place. Thank you. You know, years ago, whenever I was really, we were born in the projects. We were dirt poor growing up, and I was dirt poor in my 20s and early 30s and homeless a couple of times. My mom will die when she hears that.
Mm-hmm.
After I moved away. The thing that got me through, honestly, was my belief in non-physical in harmony with music. And so that music kept lifting me up. I could be sitting in a place with just the clothes on my back and nothing else, no gas money to put in my car, and I would be sitting there on a friend's sofa listening to music, and it would keep lifting me up, and that was the magnetic pull that brought the other opportunities to me at that point in my life.
Amazing. And you have quite a few actually really good practical tips. Another one is, after a certain point, when we reach a certain age, we're just told not to daydream anymore, but aren't daydreams really powerful and important?
They absolutely are. I believe in my heart that daydreams are, it's another form, it's like an open-eyed reading for yourself from God. It's like the angels are standing there, and as you're daydreaming and you're having that experience, they're showing you snippets of your future or aspects of your personality or your growth even that you might not have consciously thought about. And I think the more we daydream, the better connected we are to our imagination and intuition and tuning into our sort of healing batteries, if you will, juicing ourselves up so that we have something to give when people walk into our office without us being drained.
Absolutely. Now, what about, the night dreams? A lot of us just can't seem to make any sense of them in the morning. Is there a good way we can kind of focus our night dreams and get some clarity? And
good Lord, Mike. I feel like I'm on Oprah. You're asking such good questions. I'm like, yes, Oprah. Gail, come here. No, I'm
telling you. Exactly.
No, seriously, the questions are great. Here's the number one key to night dreams. Actually, here's another great guest for you, Cynthia Richmond, who is the country's leading dream interpreter, would be flawless on your show.
Okay, sure, I'll write it down.
So the number one thing to pay attention to when you wake up from a dream is, how do I feel in my gut brain? do I feel high frequency or low frequency? And how it feels is the number one way to dissect the rest of the dream. Everything else is a symbol that's directly connected to your beliefs. So, for example, you can't open a dream book that says snake, and then snake says you're going to die and burn in hell. And if you're a person who loves snakes and raises snakes for a living, you see where I'm going?
Mm-hmm.
So if you love snakes and you dreamt about the snake and you woke up feeling good because you had a bunch of snakes in your dream, boy, that just means you've got more abundance and opulence and kundalini energy that just came to me intuitively,
okay,
starting to rise up through. And if you feel negative, it just means you're burning off some stuff in your sleep that so you don't manifest it while you're awake.
I see. Now, another good tip is for us city folks is how about just going out into nature?
Oh, I love nature. Don't you remember seeing little pinpoints of lights and little fairies and stuff when you were a kid?
I used to see them, yeah.
Yeah, I did too whenever I was a kid. You know, I'm bringing butt fairies into the spotlight next year. So it's like Bubba the Butt Fairy, for real. It's like anytime you walk out in nature, I've heard a spiritual teacher of mine say this, does a tree ever worry about paying its mortgage?
Of course not.
Of course not. It's pure positive energy, and that's why people love trees and boulders and rocks and rocks and big bodies of water. When we're out in nature, we get recharged, rejuiced, refueled, and that's part of what we're here to learn to do as humans, to be still like the tree, to be moving like the water in the ocean, let that energy move through our bodies too, and it keeps our frequency high, fast, and pure.
So one thing people can do is just go on a hike for an hour.
That's
if you're really seeking clarity on a decision or something, just ask the question and then go off on the hike.
And I love that. And I write the question down on a piece of paper.
Yeah, sure.
I write it down, I hold it in my hand, then I go out into the wilderness of Los Angeles. I'm lucky. I'm right here by Griffith Park, so I have, well, now it's burned to a singe. So I have to go to Lake Hollywood. Whenever I'm out, I write the question down, I send it out to the universe, and then I forget it. And then while I'm out appreciating everything in the oval mirror of life on my walk, bam, 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 the solution keeps coming to me.
Absolutely. So what about also a sense of humor and bringing that in? You know, I'm just realizing when I've been out Christmas shopping lately, every single person has a grim look on their face.
Yeah, you know, go to EddieConner.com.
Uh-huh.
I worked in retail for 20 years.
You did?
So, yeah, and believe me, I got all the ho-ho-ho stories you could ever want to hear. At EddieConner.com on the homepage, scroll down, and I have a column I wrote years ago called How to Get Rid of the Holiday Shopping Butt-itis.
How do you do it?
You set your tone before you leave the house. My friend Cynthia Richmond said you eat some chocolate. and you really, before you turn the ignition in your car and before the motor comes on, you state to the universe for 2 minutes exactly how you want it to be. I'm going to attract rock star parking. I'm at the right place at the right time with the right people. I always get the most courteous, helpful sales associates, the most knowledgeable people there. I keep attracting the most kind, thoughtful people everywhere I go. I have the most blissed out experience I can possibly have, and I love my life. Then turn the ignition, and then put in your Karen Drucker CD, and then go to the mall and get Rockstar Parking and get 50% off everything you purchase.
Awesome. That's the formula.
Yes, that's the formula.
I mean, back to comedy. I mean, how about before you go into a meditation, maybe just watching a sitcom that makes you laugh or something?
And that's it. You know, you've got a good sense of humor. I'm a perpetual smartass.
Uh-huh.
And I guess I was born into that because I learned that if I didn't laugh about it, I would cry all the time. And also it was a way to keep people from beating my butt whenever I was growing up. So
humor,
I developed
yeah.
a sense of humor, and I believe laughter is one of the highest frequencies on the planet. We've all heard the statistics where children laugh on average 30-some times a day, where adults usually don't laugh more than 3 times
oh,
a day.
Oh, no, that's it, huh?
And children are smiling more, and adults are like, they're responsible triangle people.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you just see them with their suits and their ties on, and I just find so many people in the corporate world have just given up so much.
I know it.
to climb that ladder.
That I know. And you know what's interesting is a lot of us went into that world for a while because we were good kids. We were doing what we were told. We were being responsible. Mm-hmm. And now we've all broken free from it. We're all independent contractors more than not. Some of us have one foot in and one foot out. And because we work there, now we have great value to give back to that world. I had the privilege last year, it was actually a big dream of mine, to go to SAS Institute and speak about metaphysics in the workplace. And it was phenomenal to me that my old life was, I'm not intelligent enough to speak at SAS. There's my martyr. And then the new me is like, man, I'm going to blow their socks off. They're going to love it. I'm going to make them laugh their butts off.
Absolutely.
And it's so refreshing for them because you and I have been there. We've done it. We speak the language. And now we get to shine our light in a unique way that helps reactivate their passion and their light for what they want to do once they get out of corporate America.
Yeah, I know that you work with a lot of showbiz people. Do you find that they are just absolute master manifestors? I mean, there's this story that Jim Carrey tells that he was starving, and then he just started going up to the top of the Hollywood Hills every day,
mm-hmm.
and he wrote himself a check for $20 million.
Yep.
And I think that's what he gets for movies. I mean,
do you find
that they're just masters of their dreams and visions?
Here's what I love about Hollywood. It is the richest industry in the world. It is the poorest industry in the world. Mm. There are more starving artists in this square mileage here and in New York than anywhere else on the planet.
Really?
Yeah, think about that.
All or nothing, huh?
It's all or nothing, starving artists. And then what the it factor, illuminated thought, if you hold that IT factor for long enough, that illuminated thought translates to illuminated talent. And what's the big phrase in Hollywood? Oh, my God, Julia Roberts is an it girl.
For a moment.
Yeah, and that's the key, isn't it? For a moment. Now it's Angelina.
Yeah, and right now, this year, yeah.
Right this minute. And now Matt Damon's the sexiest man alive. How the hell did that happen? because he was the it boy. And so what it is, yes, most actors and actresses and recording artists are master manifestors, because they are doing the opposite of what we were all told, meaning they're sitting there and they're saying, I'm going to be an actor. I love acting more than anything else. I don't care if I don't have money. I don't care if I don't have a home. I'm going to act because acting for them is just like us doing our spiritual work. We love what we do so much that we vibrate that it factor in that moment. And most people who vibrate what they passionately love and pursue it actively and do everything they can to do it, and I'm not talking about triangle every angle they can. I mean standing in their intuitive intellect, daydreaming it, visualizing it, appreciating and appreciating it, celebrating it, playing around with it before it ever physically lands in our lap. You're doing the work right now based on the visualizations and the desire and passion you had a year and 5 and 10 years ago. So am I. Mm-hmm. And so actors and actresses who hold that, the reason the world is so obsessed with them, to be quite honest with you, is because they want to know what their secret is, how they get to live a charmed life while Joe Blow in Middle America can't seem to get a break.
Exactly. Well, I think you've laid it all out. We just have 2 minutes left. Why don't you tell us the title of your book again and how we can get it?
Very good. Thank you, Mike. It's called Kicking the Big Butt Syndrome. You can literally get it at eddieconner.com, or you can go to bigbuttbook.com. And it's also at all the major online booksellers, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble.
And I just want, you know, the audience to realize how high the tone of your voice has been for this whole hour. It's literally been through the roof.
Oh.
I mean, I've talked to, I don't know, like 100 people this week, and you're the highest.
Oh.
And so I want people to understand that. And, you know, probably with just a few sessions, you could really get people moving, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. That's my favorite thing to do on the planet.
That's why you're here.
Yes. At least the 1% of me.
And you always have fun with it.
Yes, you have to. You have to have a good sense of humor and laugh your butt off.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to put it out there. I would love for you to come on the radio network at some point, and if that's meant to be, it will be. But
yeah.
We had a great hour. It just flew by. Just one more time, you've got the Machu Picchu trip coming up, and what about your workshops? Tell us, just take a minute.
About the workshop, you can find out where the workshop's going to be in 08 in about a week at eddieconner.com. And then all of the Machu Picchu information and my tours with Karen Drucker, our Sell Into Your Soul 5 is going to be next year. And all of that will be at eddieconner.com and or karendrucker.com.
Right, and then this is the last thing I'm getting, is just network with people like crazy, right?
Yes, I call that connect working.
Ah.
Because you're a connector and I'm a connector.
Yeah.
And so when we connect the way we're doing right now, we're doing the best networking on the planet.
Absolutely. So, I mean, that's a key.
Yes.
It's like fire igniting more fire.
Yes, and as soon as your DVD comes out and mine comes out, we'll trade off.
Yeah.
And then whenever I have a radio show, I'll get you on.
Exactly. We just keep helping each other out. It's a win-win. Well, thank you so much for coming to Odyssey tonight.
Thank you, Mike.
And we'll be in touch very soon.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Okay, good night, everybody. Talk to you in 2 weeks. Good night.